Let's come to God's word, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. Man has tried to destroy it over the centuries, but thank you that you have preserved it for us today. Give us ears to hear, minds that can understand, and wills that will act upon what you'd have us hear today. In your name, amen. Now, a friend of mine, Duncan, he leads a church in one of those inner city areas. It's quite a tough part of the city he is in. And we were catching up on one conference we got together, and he says, Mark, what would you do in this scenario? So he was out walking in between the blocks, a little green area between two massive blocks of flats, and a guy called Kevin, now the names are fictitious, by the way, but the scenario is real. Kevin came up to him and said, Duncan, have you seen Steve around, and can you tell me where he is? Now, let's just say the estate is known for its rivalry and its disturbances and fights and all the rest of it. And Kevin and Steve were from rival blocks of flats. So Duncan said, I had to ask myself, what do I do? Do I tell Kevin the truth? Because he had seen Steve 5 minutes before going into the social club. Do I tell Kevin that I have seen him? But why is Kevin asking? It's quite possible that Kevin will do harm to Steve. You know, they're known for it. Or do you lie to Kevin? Do we lie to Kevin knowing that as a Christian we are breaking the ninth commandment? And Kevin will then find out that Duncan had lied. And what effect will that have? Will Kevin then go back to the flat and say, you know that pastor in that church, he lied to me. What effect does it have? I wonder, how do we handle the truth? And that's a question I'd like us to ask ourselves today. Thanks, John. The question is this: how do we handle the truth about Jesus specifically? Well, what we're going to find in our passage, we're going to discover three people who have a moment in which they have to decide how are they going to handle the truth about Jesus. Thanks, John. We're going to come across Peter. And are we like Peter, who simply denies the truth? We can ask ourselves, are we like the priests who are simply unable to accept the truth? Or are we like Pilate, who's just not interested? It's really helpful when they all begin with P, isn't it? I don't know who wrote the Bible, but it's very good. Peter, the priests, or Pilate? We're going to ask ourselves, do we handle the truth about Jesus like any of these? Thanks, John. Now, most of us know where this is going, don't we? Do we handle the truth like Peter? Because we know the punchline. We know what happens with Peter. But before we visit this known punchline, we do well to remember what Peter was like. Remember, a few hours before, Jesus had told his disciples, when they're all together, what was going to happen to him. And what was Peter doing? Peter's confirmed his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will even die for you, he said. And a few moments later, when they were out in the garden, who was it with the sword? It was Peter with the sword, ready to defend his Lord. Even if in both of these occasions he was slightly misguided, Peter's passion was there. And even now, when all bar one other disciple are scattered, it is Peter who is following the soldiers and the crowds and Jesus to the great high priest's courtyard. It is Peter then who can't go in, because everybody else can go in, he can't. He is willing to wait outside to see what happens. Later on, he is brought in. So Peter is there looking after his Lord. And it's then while in the courtyard, we discover the first response that Peter has in terms of how does he handle the truth. In verse 17, we have the doorkeeper. This young lady who's the doorkeeper of the courtyard says, "Aren't you one of this man's disciples too?" Now, of course, we know the story. We've read it. We know the answer to that question is, yes, he was. And how does Peter respond? I am not. Peter denies the truth. And as if to get us the punch of this, John, who wrote the letter, loves his contrast. With John, we get darkness and light. We get life and death. He loves contrasting. So Peter has just said, I do not, I am not. The camera now pans to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? So Jesus, in contrast, responding to his interrogation, says, verse 20, I have spoken openly to the world. So while Jesus is opening up the truth about himself, Peter closes down. Even before, you may remember from last week, when Jesus asked them, who are you wanting? Who are you after? Jesus of Nazareth, they said. I am he. And Peter is now saying, I am not. The contrast we have here between the truth of how Peter handles it and how Jesus handles it. And this scene repeats itself, doesn't it? Verse 25, when those around the fire now ask him, aren't you one of his disciples too? What does he say? I am not. Even when a relative of Malchus, you may remember from last week, Malchus was the guy he cut the ear off. And a relative of Malchus who was there, saw it happening, saw who did it, probably. He says, I saw you there. And what does Peter say? It wasn't me. He denies it. Now, we could focus on Peter and give him, is it called psychosomatic analysis as to, I don't know what that means, some of you do, as to why he did this. What is going on here? But, you know, I would rather ask the question, do we handle the truth of Jesus like Peter? Do we deny it? But let me just clarify one thing, because I think some of us may instantly get a guilt trip. You know, we can all name scenarios when we fail to stand up for Jesus, fail to speak to Jesus or speak to others about Jesus, whether it's speaking to our friends at school, whether it's our colleagues at work, whether it's our neighbours, it's the people we meet in everyday life, we all fail to do that. But the specific scenario we have with Peter and the contrast that John is given is not that Jesus is speaking the truth and John is silent. Sorry, Peter is silent. But that Jesus is openly speaking and Peter is openly denying. That's the scenario we've got here. To be silent is one thing, but to deny it is something else, isn't it? I'm sure we've all been there. I've been there. Do you know when I went to Beacon School? Yeah, I was a local lad, grew up in Beacon School. Made me the man I am. Do you know, there was a time when I used to deny that I went to church. I even denied that I was involved with the youth group. Ironically, when guys in my same class went to the same youth group and people in my year, but yeah, I said, no, I'm nothing to do it. Didn't want to. And I was personally, you know, I was afraid of being alienated. I was a bit of a wimp in those days. I was picked on, I was bullied, and all the rest of it. And I was scared of that. And because of that alienation, I went through a period of denying it. And I dare say most of us have been in those scenarios. Maybe we're in those scenarios today when we deny that we do know the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, in times like that, let's ask the Lord for boldness to give us the strength. You know, I'm ashamed that I did say no and denied him when I was for a couple of years in Beacon. But thankfully, the Lord helped me overcome that, and I did tell my friends at school. I did, then when I went to uni or I went in at work, I did stand up. And it's a scary thing sometimes, isn't it? Do you know, the worst I ever had was a few people wouldn't have anything to do with me. I've only ever had one person who was really overtly hating me, who tried to get me fired because I was a Christian. And the other thing is, out of all the times I've been to a pub over the last 25 years, I only got kicked out twice. It's not quite true. They asked me to leave because it was inappropriate to have either a Bible on the table or talking about Jesus. You know, what's that? It's nothing, is it? Really, it is nothing. But you know, I'd like us to think about more subtle ways in which we can deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, we're now in a society who really doesn't, is really not interested in the truth claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's word, is it? You know, the times when we fail to take a stand on what the Bible teaches us is a time in which we deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of those subjects are really hard, aren't they? You can think of abortion, euthanasia, sexuality, big one today, isn't it? Or marriage, that's been to the news in the last few years. You know, to stand up for what the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has taught us through his word is tough. Will we be like Peter and deny it? We can promote opinions that are not the Lord Jesus Christ. If we lessen the authority of Jesus, for instance, when we compare God's word and what the Lord Jesus Christ taught relative to other religions, in the sense that, you know, they are the standard, and how does Jesus fit in what he teaches relative to them? Or other philosophies, we treat them as equal. We are denying our Lord and what he taught. So we need to pray for boldness, you know, that we can stand on God's word, because we can. You know, we can deny that Jesus was truly God as well as truly man in the things that we say. We can deny Jesus when we don't take the opportunities to speak about him. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we've got to shoehorn the words of Jesus with every person we speak to, but there are opportunities, aren't there? You know, it's always a brave thing to pray in the morning, Lord, help me to take the opportunities today, because you know he's going to give you one. But ask him to help you, and he does help us to speak about him. And then when we don't take those opportunities, we have, in a sense, denied him. And we can deny the Lord Jesus Christ through our actions, our activities, and what we do. Now, when we go to places or engage in pursuits or relationships that are not suitable for a Christian, we are denying our Lord. So we need to ask God for boldness, to live a life that is worthy of him. We can deny him in all sorts of ways. Do you know, I wonder whether it's worth just taking 30 seconds just to think ourselves how even in this last week or this month that we may have denied our Lord in any way. And then I'm just going to lead us in a prayer of confession. Let's just think about how we might have denied our Lord. Jesus, we ask you to forgive us. And in the times in our lives, in our everyday lives, where we have failed to stand up for you, in whatever those scenarios are, whether you have given us an opportunity to speak of you, or whether we have not stood up to what your Bible teaches, even when it's against our society and the culture that we live in today. Father, we ask that we may know your strength to be your people, to be that light that is salt in our world. Because, Father, you have made the blueprint for our world. You are truth, and you are true hope, and you are the ones who give us eternal life. So, Father, help us to be strong in you, in your name. Amen. So we need to be praying for each other. So we all come to a point where we have to ask our question, how are we going to deal with the truth, or how are we going to handle the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we going to be like Peter and deny it, or are we going to be like the priests? Thanks, John. Who are unable to accept it. So while we have Peter enduring his situation in the cold in the courtyard, Jesus is now being interrogated by Annas. Annas was the former high priest. Now, we don't know his specific questions that he was being asked, but what John does tell for us is that the questions are about his disciples and about his teaching. And in response to the questions that Jesus has been given, John records something of how Jesus responds in verse 20. Jesus, in effect, says, "My teaching is in the public domain. I taught in the very places that you were at. In the places where you taught, I taught. You've heard everything that I've said. Why are you asking me about the things I say?" Well, of course, they're asking him because they won't accept his truth. Jesus continues, "And if you want to double check, ask the thousands of people who heard me." And it was literally thousands of people who heard the teachings of Jesus. Well, that response got him slapped around the face, didn't it? Because once again, they won't accept the truth that Jesus tells them. Now again, we could give Peter a hard time, we could give the high priests a hard time, but may we ask ourselves, do we handle the truth of Jesus like the priests? Do we find there's things we cannot accept about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are there teachings we cannot accept? Are there parts of the Bible we cannot accept? I don't know whether you've come across people, but some people will say, "Oh, do you know, the bits I don't like in the Bible, I just rip the page out." I've certainly come across friends who have done that. They didn't have a lot left, to be quite honest with you. Do you know, there are parts of the Bible that, unlike moths that are drawn to a light inexpressibly, got to go to the light, there are parts of the Bible that we do naturally shield our eyes and ears from, aren't there? And I'm not simply referring to the facts that some people have a problem, you know, like the sixth their universe-spanning creation, or humanity being uniquely created rather than evolving from slime. The global flood, or the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, or if we moved into the New Testament, we can think about Mary being a virgin and giving birth, the miracles of Jesus, or the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and then ascended physically into heaven. Now, these are facts that people struggle with, of course, and have arguments over. But the ones that really hit hard are the ones that really speak to our inner being, isn't it? These are the truths we often recoil from. Like the exclusive teachings of Scripture, that Christianity, true Christianity, really is the only way that you get to meet God and have eternal life. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That hits home, doesn't it? The total depravity of myself. There is, in Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks God. We all have turned away from him. Total depravity is the phrase. We find that hard, isn't it? You know, there's actually a chicken and egg question when it comes to sin. Am I a sinner because I sin? Or do I sin because I'm a sinner? If you've ever heard that one before, I'm not going to. But what came first? I sin because I am a sinner. I'll get you to work that one through later. We don't like the idea that we're not as good as we think we are. Gee, I love the AV. The AV says, even our righteousnesses are but dung. You know what a great word that is, isn't it? Even what I think is good is like dung. And I'm totally dependent upon God for my salvation. You know, I'm a bloke. I love to fix things. I'm a real fixer. I can't fix myself. In Jesus, he really is the only one who can forgive me all that I am. And he really does give me all that I need to be. The other one is that we struggle with, or people struggle with, is that not all will be saved. It's a hard one as well, isn't it? That there is a heaven and there is a hell. And for those who do not call out to God, asking him to forgive them and committing their lives to him, the New Testament describes them as being cast out into utter darkness, where their worm never dies, where their fire is never quenched. The Bible speaks very clearly about eternal life. We all shall live forever in one of two destinations, either paradise or the lake of burning fire, an eternal conscious punishment. We don't like that, do we? We probably could name a number of other things that we find truths from Scripture that we find hard to accept. But you know, when it comes to teachings of Scripture and the Lord Jesus Christ, they are either fully true, totally true, or not true at all. And if they're not true, we are complete idiots, and what are you doing here? We should be pitted amongst all if we take any of it for gospel if it's not true, pun intended. Scripture is totally true, trustworthy, and reliable. There's a few classic words that are used to describe Scripture. First of all, it is sufficient. That means not that the Bible answers every question we ever have. You all know that there's questions we have that Scripture doesn't directly answer. But is sufficient for salvation, to reveal to us ourselves, our universe, and God, and how we are saved from the consequences of our rebellion against God. Scripture is sufficient for salvation. There's another word I love. I can barely say it. It's perspicuous. Perspicuity, anybody come across those two? I could barely say them. Thankfully, I cleaned my teeth this morning. Perspicuous, it means Scripture is clear. It's clarity. It is able to speak to any of us because the way God works. It is sufficient for salvation, and it is clear in the sense that we can understand it. God's word can be trusted, even though some of it we find hard to accept. So may we be more than just, as well, be more than just filling our minds with the knowledge of God. Let's be understanding it to. So how do we handle the truth about Jesus? Are we like Peter, who deny it? Are we like priests, the priests, who are unable to accept it? Or thirdly, thanks John, are we like Pilate, who simply wasn't interested? So in John's account, he has recorded for us the trial that Jesus had before Annas, the former high priest. Annas then passes Jesus on to Caiaphas, and he's now before the Sanhedrin. And Matthew and Mark give us a glimpse as to what that trial was like. So Annas, he focused very much on the teaching of Jesus. Now when he's before Caiaphas, the primary focus of the questioning by Caiaphas is Jesus the Messiah? And when Caiaphas asked Jesus directly, "Are you the Messiah?" he said this. Jesus said this, "You have said so. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest Caiaphas tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death," they cried. Now, the Jews didn't just then go out and murder Jesus at that time, execute him, because they couldn't. Remember, Israel, the Jewish nation at this time, is under the rule of the Romans. So they have to pass him to Pilate in order to execute Jesus. Now, from what we've read, Pilate clearly resists the idea. He doesn't want anything to do with it, in all honesty. But Israel, being under the authority of Rome, require him, Pilate, to execute Jesus. Now, Pilate then obviously and logically asks, well, what has he done? What's the charges against him? Now, John doesn't actually record them for us, but Luke does. And Luke said this, when they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man misleading our nation, forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Now, John records us which of those three charges that Pilate is interested in verse 33. "Are you the king of the Jews?" So Pilate is clearly interested in whether Jesus is a king or not. Now, Jesus responds to Pilate's question by asking his own question. Now, Jesus asks the question, in a sense, to find out which perspective is Pilate asking. Are you a king? Because if Pilate is asking from his own perspective, i.e. his role within the Roman nation, then of course Pilate is asking Jesus, "Are you a risk to Caesar?" But if then Jesus says to Pilate, "Are you asking because the Jews have told you that?" then Jesus knows that Pilate is asking the question from, "Are you the Messiah?" But from whatever standpoint Pilate is asking, he's not interested. Did you notice that? He's just not interested. He's dismissive of Jesus. He's just not interested. And similarly, when Jesus starts to explain what is his kingdom, "My kingdom is not of this world," how does Pilate respond ultimately? What is truth? Pilate simply is not interested in finding out who Jesus really is or the truth about him. So again, we could give Pilate a hard time as we could the priests and Peter. But let us ask ourselves the question, do we handle the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ like Pilate? We're simply not interested in it. Now, some of us might say, "Do you know, Mark, in all honesty, I don't believe a word of it." Do you know, if that is you this morning, can I ask you to say thank you to being here, because I'm sure it's not easy to hear what you don't believe in. But can I also suggest that you don't just kick it out the door quite yet. Read the Bible for yourself. Check out the truth claims of Jesus for yourself. There's so much fake news online. Find it out for yourself. And if you haven't got a Bible, ask Trish or I for one. We'll get you one. Read it for yourself. But maybe some of us here are curious. Do you know, there's quite a lot of people who followed the Lord Jesus Christ over the last 2,000 years. It actually runs into billions. There's 2 billion people today who would claim to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's either a lot of people who've got it wrong, Or can we encourage ourselves to look into it a bit more? Maybe we are curious. If we are curious, again, speak to Trish and I, because we'd love to get you along to our Hope Explored course. It's just a three-session course that starts the ball rolling. The hope we have in Lord Jesus Christ. It's a really interactive, chilled out three sessions. Get involved with that. Feed your curiosity. How do we handle the truth about Jesus? Are we like Peter? I think you can move on, John. I think I've got a review. Are we like Peter, who just simply denies the truth? Are we like the priests, who can't accept the truth? Or are we like Pilate, who's not interested in the truth? Or are we like Jesus, who will listen and testify to the truth? Did you see that in verse 37? You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Here is what we really need to do with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discover the truth claims of the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves and listen to it and respond to it. Can you remind me of the first line of our verse of the year? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about what that looks like. You know, I know we're all busy, but if we're really that busy, remember, if you've got a phone that can go on the line, just check the Bible Gateway will give you a verse each day. Or if you've got if your phone's one of those smartphones, you know, put an app on there like YouVersion, and it'll give you a verse of the year to read. Let's get listening to God's word. I know a lot of us are using Bible notes. And if you're interested in Bible notes, speak to those around because you can find the ones that best suit you or speak to me. I can recommend some. I know some of you have even been setting up WhatsApp groups. So two or three of you, four of you can share God's word with each other. That's really great. That's great to hear that. Let's listen to God's word. But maybe you'd like to be in a one-to-one Bible study. Again, chat to me or Trish, if you'd like to be one of those, if you're not already. May we be those who listen to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as Christians, I don't know whether you've found this, I found there's a time in which I was just so interested in just filling my mind with knowledge rather than doing anything with it. We are called to do more than just know God. We are called also to show God and to share God. That knowledge is to work it out, to massage it through our lives so people see it in our lives. They see God in us. And it's more than that too. It is that we are to share God as well. The hope and the love that God has shown us, we are to share with others. We testify to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is amazing. He's done so much for us. He set his eyes to the cross and went all through what he did because he loves us. May we take the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not deny it. Let's just not put our fingers in our ears because we can't accept it. Or let's just, or those who are not interested in it, let's listen to it and testify to it. Amen.